Welcome, friends. Welcome to the Adventurer's Cave, somewhere in between the multiverses. We are apart for a while. Well, longer than I'd like. I've been trying to do like a 7-day span and get one out, but I've been playing the game a lot. Last time I was doing the podcast, I was ended up spending so much time thinking and making notes and taking stabs at making an episode. And oftentimes it would be 2 or 3, 3 or 4 hours sometimes, and I wouldn't play the game at all, because by the time I finished, I had no more free time. So that was a difficult thing for me to handle. Was, you know, I love to talk about the game just as much as all of us, but if you slowly had to transition to playing a game to just talking about it, you sort of get a little detached. So I've been playing the game. I mean, we got kinds of new changes and new stuff coming out. So I've been playing the game and making friends as much as I can and talking mostly to everybody that will have a conversation with me in-game about the game and trying to see if I'm crazy or if I'm just me and focused on my own ideas and my own things. A lot of times I get my ideas from the forums. I'm definitely in touch with the forums. I haven't really posted or much in the new stuff in the new forums, but I frequent them and read them a lot. So in that way, I feel in touch with the player base to a degree. Obviously, it's not everything, but I want to experience a live interaction, talking to people about some of the thoughts and comments I've made or I have in my head. And you would may not be surprised if you're in a group and you happen to have some downtime in the group and you're waiting for something. You might mention something that you've heard here or that in the course of listening, it made you have a thought occur to you. I would suggest and recommend that you discuss that with your fellow players. It's pretty interesting to see how parallel thinking works and how the genuine concern for the game and the direction it's taken or took with this last patch is people are, you know, their feathers are ruffled. And I did, one of the episodes I did, the last episode was, you know, the line that sticks out the most is, I don't take my toy away. You know, it's just kind of grandstanding a little bit for the players that do feel that way, that they've been robbed, so to speak. So I had a lot of great conversations in game over the last week or two. And I was really, I mean, these conversations went on for 20 or 30 minutes with complete strangers. And a lot of them were typing conversations that also included others chiming in on voice chat. It was pretty lively conversation. I was surprised at just how, it's not incendiary. It's not that players are irascible. It's just that people are, this is a link to it, sort of, because people get real passionate, and that's good. Why is it good? It's good because that means that people are emotionally invested. It's good. I think the issue with everybody, or the people that I've talked with, is that their emotional investment is treated with a lack of care. And a lack of transparency, and I understand that completely because it has been dealt with that way. When newer, exciting things are happening and changes are happening, it's easy for anybody that's representing Standing Stone Games to kind of get out there and show the player base what's new and exciting. But when something like this, I imagine there's probably dissent amongst the group. And so probably a company line is, well, no one's going to say anything then because we can't agree. And somebody at the boss level has said that whatever changes were going to take place are going to take place, and I'm not going to hear anything else. And in that way, they stay silent because they're not allowed. You know, if an employee has a grievance or doesn't agree with the direction, I imagine they're not allowed to speak out. And this is just me spitballing, because I don't know for a fact, but I'm just guessing from how businesses are run that this is probably the case. So, I guess we would just consider that thought as we move forward, that it's possible that Standing Stone Games is not of one mind when it comes to some of the changes that have been put in place, and for good reason. I've covered it in the Wandering Back trilogy, although that was rant filled, and as much as I tried to stay on topic, I have a lot of different ideas. And you know, it's I wouldn't say it's all solved, but it is out there to be understood that when it comes to bringing new players in or discussing things with new players, it's a complex game. It's been around a long time. And most people that play the game have grown with the game, so the changes have seemed subtle. I can tell you that my longest absence from the game was about 8 years, and it was extremely overwhelming, and it took me periods of playing for a month or two and then taking a year off or 8 months off or 6 months off and then playing for a month. It took me a long time to get to love the game again because it was so, felt so divorced from what it was when I left. That's a good thing. That's a bad thing. I think the best thing is for a language to be developed that we can communicate as players to new players in one way. So as opposed to breaking it down into, well, with this update, there was huge changes to this, huge changes to that. I think there should be a level of transparency and expectation. And then I think, there's nothing wrong with laying out your rule set for players so that they can plan appropriately and talk in one language with each other about the characters that they intend to make, the characters they intend to put into the world or play. I think that's how Dungeons & Dragons, why it's so popular to begin with. That's the role-playing genre. That's not going to change if you make it easy for everybody to talk about it. This could get better. And what I don't think you'll find is a way to put value on that language, because what you're doing is you're essentially enhancing people's emotional purchase in the game, and I don't think there's a way to quantify that in terms of numbers and turbine points and all these other things that you, expansions and logins per day and all these other, I just don't think there's a way to quantify it. I think it would be very good for the game, and I think it would be very cool to have Turbine really try to take the reins as the DDODM, right? Which is aptly the name of this podcast. I don't envy their job. It's a difficult job. I don't even know what it's like to walk the halls. I'm sure on a good stretch, it's great. And I'm sure on a bad stretch, it's bad, because just like players, you get guys who've worked at Turbine for a long time. And I'm sure some of them are, you know, when they hear changes are coming, I'm sure some of them aren't always happy, you know, and that they probably speak their minds, I would imagine. And that can be tough for anybody to deal with. They call it the ugly truth for a reason. And the way someone feels about something is the truth. Whether the way they feel about it is right or wrong, or it makes no difference to you, when someone expresses the way they feel, it's still what they believe to be true, and it's still very true to them, and the truth is ugly sometimes. So, that being said, I don't know what's going on in the halls over there. I don't know. I'm sure they're scrambling for packs and but whether it's personal problems or whatever is happening, there's something happening in that company for sure. And I don't know what it is. Your guess is as good as mine. As we sit in between the planes, I guess the only thing that matters is our capability to continue to push forward. So I'll leave that little ethical moral to me looking in the mirror, hoping that it makes sense. I'll leave that talk where it is. I'm sad for the players that have felt negatively impacted. It stinks. And you'll notice on the podcast, I haven't mentioned really too much what's happening in the game. And I'm going to keep it that way for now, because I need to focus on the things that I want to focus on so I can get the podcast complete. And it's great. Everything's great. I definitely have been enjoying playing the games. That's why I haven't been on, but mostly enjoying meeting people in game and just talking and learning that, like, I'm not alone out there, that I'm not, it's not crazy to feel like I love the game, I love playing it. I've spent a lot of time and a lot of emotional investment into the game, and I think it's only fair that, or at least understandable, that I want to speak my mind. I think we all do, to some degree. We all want to say what's on our mind. And I think with some of the recent changes, that leads to an ugly truth for a lot of people. And what's interesting, I find, is one of the times I came back to the game after, I think it was about 8 years I'd been away, I played the Muncher build, and I was getting back into the game, and I really, you know, I ended up, I don't remember what the level cap back then was, but it was right before they changed adrenaline to not work with the bow, so it was right before that change happened. And I remember I got my guy up, and I TR'd him, and I got the bow, and I got the gear I needed. I ended up, you know, soloing the Fall of Truth, which at that time was, I don't think it was the end raid, but it was one of the end raids. You know, I was pretty pleased with myself. Felt like I was back in the game, back, ready to join the guild kind of thing. And it was, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, they announced that they were changing it, adrenaline, so that it wouldn't work with the bow because it was too overpowered. So I quit the game for a couple of years. And I came back, I think the cap was 28. I might have been 28 at the time. I don't remember. I came back a couple of years later, and there were some more changes and some more updates. And I made this build that was pretty awesome. And no one had thought of it yet. It wasn't popular, so it was pretty cool. People used to ask me about it. I felt good that I was back in the game playing it. And then they didn't say they were changing it. A lot of people started copying the build. People were really excited. And I forget why I quit that time, but I ended up quitting again. And I don't remember why. I wish I knew why, but I don't. I didn't know. I did another one. I ended up leaving for a long time after that, and I came back again. And I'll, not this time, but the time before that. I wasn't convinced I was going to. I started doing the podcast and stuff. I'd come back a few months before, and I was just getting into the game. I just loved it, and, you know, I just love being, it's so much history there for me, and just love being a part of it, and I wanted to share it. And so I met some new people. I had some new conversations. I just really enjoyed it. And then stuff happened, and I had to go. I couldn't stick around. So I had to go. So when I came back, the change had already taken place, but that last time I came back before I had left this past time, like the time when I did the podcast, that particular time frame, they had already reintroduced Hunt's End. And I remember someone had explained the changes to me, and I was totally confused because I'm thinking to myself, this is the exact same thing they took away. That made me quit all those years ago, and I quit for several years because, again, it was just such a shocking and abrupt change, and again, not a whole lot of transparency why, not a whole lot of mapping out or understanding from the DM's perspective about why they're changing the rules suddenly, but it made me quit, and I was upset. So, to my surprise, I couldn't help but laugh at the irony that they had reintroduced it, but just put it in a different tree so it cost more points, or it made you focus on one, made you split your power between melee and range. Which I've sort of danced around this topic, that how many really different builds are there in DDO that are acceptable, that will get you into raids at endgame, and mostly anything will get you into a raid for the most part, but sometimes not. Certainly not on a server that's maybe not so populated as the others. People are looking to complete raids, and they need to know that you can contribute, because they might really need that slot filled. With somebody that can do whatever it is your flash broadcast is going to send you. So, builds, popular builds, meta-defining builds, become that way because the player base kind of accepts that into the endgame rating groups, and so people would generally use the popularized build because it is good. For the most time, they're good. And they allow a player to contribute enough so that they can experience more of the game. And the raids in the game, I think a lot of them are fun. But then it also, to speak that way, also says, well, how much build diversity is there? If You know, there are four or five builds that a pug can run that will get them outside of a healer, that will get them in a raid. Well, there's four or five builds. You know, if you start taking away those builds or taking away things that people use, they'll certainly find something else. There'll be less general population because you will lose people. Like me in the past, you'll lose people just because they're emotionally invested and they feel cheated, betrayed, and so they'll leave and they won't come back. But hey, I hope that change worked out for you. You know, like, sorry you shot yourself in the foot. But it was just when I saw or heard of the changes last year or a couple of years ago when I'd come back, it was funny to me that they put it back in the game, and now fast forward, like, you know, a year later, they're taking it out again. So, you know, it just kills me how not just unprofessional it is, but how much disregard you have for people's time. You know, that they, what are they, like, farm gear, which you know they did, because that's how you build the game, to farm and grind gear, and now it's, you know, you effectively tanked something that they really love, man. And even if it's not, oh, it's not that bad. Okay, that's your perspective. They've been playing it for 2 years that way, man, and they like it. They have fun with it. Just took it away. Just, to me, it's crazy because it would be like going over to someone's house, and you go over their house, and for 2 or 3 years, it's not a big deal for you to go in the fridge and get milk. And then one day they're like, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you taking that milk out of the fridge? You're not welcome back. Put that back. There's water by the door." You know, what the fuck? Like, to me, it's just a business practice. Like, when I think about it, like, because that's, you know, when it comes to Dungeons and Dragons and stuff, you're talking about friends around the table is where it started. So to have your DM just kind of like randomly say, "Well, yeah, you can come over, but I'm not drinking Mountain Dew anymore." Like, what? What do you mean? That was part of our thing. Oh, not anymore. Not anymore, Nate. Change your mind. And without an explanation, you know, it just baffles me that anybody can have an idea and do it like that. It's just crazy. You can't kind of help but laugh, I guess, because it's sad, right? Because it's our game and we love it. And but it's just crazy. It's, I don't know. I don't know, because I used to think when I was younger, I used to think it was like an ego thing, but sometimes it just seems like it's incompetence, you know, like to make a change, reinstitute it, then make it again 2 or 3 years later, change it again. It just seems crazy. And I don't play ranged characters anymore because of that. I know they're, you know, I watch everybody's content on YouTube and streams and stuff. I got a couple builds that I run raids, and then I just have fun, like, with new players or players that aren't as adept at the game as I am. Maybe I play with them and I just have fun, man. I just don't let Turbine kind of rain on my parade, because they have a tendency to do that, and it's sad because it seems like it's all really motivated by money. And you know, the whole point of the Wandering Back Trilogy is having a book like that come out, a campaign book that's specific to DBO that lays out the rules and maybe some of the changes they're planning on instituting over the next year or two. I just think that's huge, because that's transparency, and then that gives you something to take in the shitter, to put in the car, to let friends will come over and see it. It's huge. And it gives us one language to speak to people with. And you know, it's worked for Dungeons and Dragons when it came out, and it's worked since the 70s. I don't see why it wouldn't work now. But But we'll see. I mean, you know, I don't want to say that. I mean, I as far as misgivings about it, the only misgivings I have are related to, you know, the conversations I have with players, and they feel that way, man. They, like, it's not just me making it up. They feel betrayed. That's how people feel, and it's just, that's how the player base feels, and I agree with them. I made a podcast about it last time. That's how they, that's how I viewed it in my head, and I spent the last couple weeks talking to a bunch of people, 100 people, and that's how I feel, man. They feel like you cheated when you betrayed them, and that's okay, because you did. You know, you fucked with them, you fucked with their wallet, you fucked with their emotions, and there's consequences will be had. You can have sales, you can do double points, but people piss, man. Not everybody's pissed. Well, a lot of people are, man, and they're confused if they're not mad. They're confused. And that's never a good place for your players to be. Anyways, I guess you can see why I kind of hesitated to pick up the mic. Because I didn't mean to talk about any of this. Not that I had a really big, well thought out plan. I don't have any notes this time. I just thought it was important I picked it up and just relayed my experiences. So any of the players that are listening, man, you're definitely not alone. Like, we all feel, and I don't, like, main characters, I'm none of my guys get nerfed, man. Now, I got no skin in the game in this one, but I just feel your pain. I've been there. I just told you the story how I quit for 2 years before the changes were instituted. They announced them, and I stopped logging in. So I get it, man. I fucking totally understand where these people are coming from. It's just me, man. And, you know, I get it. Oh, it's going to be better in the long run. Well, if it's going to be better in the long run, then fucking make a post on the forums and tell us about it. You know, you got Cordovan doing the Fridays at 4 thing every week. You can't spend 15 minutes and say, you know, I'm not taking questions. Here's what's happened. No, you can't. You can't because there's no good explanation. And that's just the fucking bottom line. The reason why they haven't said anything about it, so there's no real explanation. And I know Shrem, he's put a brave face on everything, and that's great for him. And I appreciate his flag carrying, flag raising. And because I generally don't get, personally, I generally don't get so bent about changes because, like I said, they don't affect me. And if I were to make any character that touched on those things, it's just very difficult for me to have a character commit to any of, like, either the supreme damage route for casters or the supreme range route. I always have a very hard time doing that. When it comes to casters, I find it difficult because I'm not a magical guy. I'm just a regular dude. So I don't have an affinity for the arcane personally. I love magic and I love the world of Dungeons and Dragons, but I never see myself as one able to manipulate the weave in such a way that the fates would cower at my use of magic. So I, and in life, I guess I just am the kind of guy that's a little more practical. Not that I'm super mechanically inclined or anything like that, but I'm just a little bit more practical. And my skill set in real life is different. And it's not that I can't translate that into a magic character, but it does bring up an interesting topic. And that's how you make your characters, how you see them, how you see the world through their eyes. I think that's a topic I want to cover and want to do, but I think it's best suited for something that's got a visual piece to it. So that's another thing that I've been kind of working on, is a happy topic about the game that promotes the game in a good way and that shies away from the drama, doesn't shy away from design decisions that were poor, but shies away from the drama of poor business practices and just absolutely not knowing your audience and that kind of thing. To some degree, I think the outcry with standing selling games is undeserved. So I spent all this time hoisting the flag of the rebel player who's upset with the changes. But let me also say that in my time, both last year and now again back, before these changes, and even, I guess, while they were being talked about, there was a cry that maybe Melee's, you know, you have to be a lot of past lives, you have to this, you have to have that. And Melee's weren't good. You better to be, you know, like a dragon caster, basically, right? And casters get everything, and it's easy, and yada, yada, yada. I love that episode. So, you know, while it may not be, it may be a knee-jerk where they've gotten enough disgruntled people about the Melee thing that they, when they introduced Dragon Lord, they just said, here you go, have at it. So that could be another way to look at it, is that they were tired of hearing about how overpowered something was, so they nerfed it. And then alongside the nerf, they released something that buffs or that makes it a little easier for newer players to get into the Melee side of things with Dragon Lord. Provided you log in this month and get it for free. Nice touch. Otherwise, you pay for it. Free VIPs, though. So, when you talk about the game from a business standpoint, it just always... it's always easier for me to think about the things that could be done to just make it better. And I think communication is always the key. It's the key to just about anything in life. Communication is the key, because if you can't communicate, then you're all alone. And this is a social game for the most part. And it's kind of a shared delusion that we all enter into. And to be able to effectively communicate the rules of that world is a really big piece to the puzzle. It's a piece of why any of these tabletop systems have stuck around so long. It's because, I said it in a previous podcast, I'll say it here. It's because you can talk to someone who played Dungeons & Dragons, whatever edition, in California, and you can talk to someone in Texas, and they can have a mutual shared fun hobby conversation for however long they decide, because they are talking the same language. And so one of my ideas, the Wandering Back Trilogy, that starts with having some type of campaign book for DDO Online for it to come out, and it says a little bit about the lore, about the places, about the NPCs, fleshes out the world a little bit, fleshes out the character classes, the enhancement systems, why the choices were made, or maybe not why the choices were made, but what choices are available, maybe what you can expect in the future, and then, you know, the rules. When do you roll a D100? When do you... Why is it this percentage? What is a 1W? What is 2W? What is 5.7 parentheses? What does all this mean? And just explain it. And if it's complicated, that's okay. If it takes a couple times to read it, that's okay. People will read it a couple times, hundreds of times, or at least 100, right? So I that's really where I started when I came back, is I just noticed that when I came back. It was really more stark because my break wasn't that long, so not too much had changed. but I still found myself running with players who were fairly new or had played for a considerable amount of time, but never really invested too much money or into the game. So they didn't understand all the rules because they never had a chance to experience them. And it made me sad. And it's like, well, maybe there was not a wiki and not something they can touch and feel, something that they can open and see the artwork. And there's something to be said for that, getting lost in a book. It's such a whole piece of the Dungeons & Dragons puzzle that's missing from D&D Online. And I never really noticed it until I came back and started talking to these players. And I'm like, man, it's like they're speaking Greek. It's like they're speaking basic Goo Gaga language. They don't understand the game, and it just kind of sucks. So it's something I wanted to see fixed. And that's the last I'll say on that topic. I'm gonna move on, and I'm gonna move on by recapping the last episode as well as I can. And the last episode, I was really excited about the changes and the implementation to how the rogue spots traps in the dungeons. And I really felt like it, like the imbue system, it's one of those things that just got fully developed, and I'd like to see it get that way. And again, they may be having these ideas in these conversations. But in Dungeons & Dragons, when you play a class that can trap and that can spot traps and search traps, the Artificer can do it, the Dark Hunter Ranger can do it, of course the Rogue can do it. When you play one of these classes and you're running through a dungeon, and you may be running, you'll notice when you're near a trap, your spidey senses go off, and your character is alerted that a trap is nearby and you should search. I thought it was a great tool, especially for new players or someone that's returning like myself who maybe wants to play a rogue and just doesn't know where the traps are. In the old spot system, I don't even remember how it worked. I'm going to stay on topic. I don't remember how it worked, but this new system they developed, I really enjoyed and thought it was neat. I also thought, wow, spotting and searching a trap, those are two skills that come from your character's skill page. I also was thinking, as an extension of this same alert feature for skills, that it would be cool if they could expand that alert to include conversations that mayhap the player could have with NPCs, depending on if their linguistic skills can at least detect, hey, this guy over here has something to tell you and may want to speak to him. So a similar alert for the conversations. And that's pretty much the whole idea. So that we don't no longer have to run around randomly clicking on NPCs randomly sometimes, but we can actually feel a little bit more immersed and see the character a little bit more real to us. I think that system with the rogue really does capture that well, and I'd love to see something like that employed for other skills. And I really would hearken back to some of the stuff they've done in Menace of the Underdark and in Sharn as well. They did this in Sharn as well, and they used other skills like Repair or Concentration, and those were dialogue options that could advance pieces of the quest or unlock optionals or change the way you could complete a quest. And I just think more attention could be spent on developing that system and then employing that system in quests. It would be excellent, I think. It needs to be done in a way that doesn't interrupt people's TR training, but it also needs to be done in a way that, you know, if people are getting together and they're playing, I mean, why not? I mean, it is Dungeons and Dragons, so. Yeah, so that was kind of the big idea from last episode that I talked an hour about, and I apologize. Last episode actually got cut in half. It wasn't that I lost the beginning. I lost about an hour. So it was a whole setup, and it was lost. But that was pretty much the idea from last episode. And I've covered some of the emotional strife this episode, so we'll leave that in the past. And that brings us up to the moment we've all been waiting for. And that's character builds. How do we see them? How do we do them? How do you play DDO closer to tabletop? How do you get more emotional investment in the characters you make? I've got a couple episodes on that already from season one. That was a big focus in season two. And I think it's time to go back to that, because that is the game. You know, that is the game. And I think that's such a big part of the game. Making, creating characters and living through them, living their experiences through them. I think that's a great skill to have. To be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and see it from their perspective is a really good skill to have. And hopefully it, as a person, allows you to develop some mercy, some empathy, if not sympathy, for other people. But first, let's do it in game, right? First, let's do it. With a Shade Archives ripped from the Shadowfell and forced to do the Raven Queen's will or suffer the consequences. Let's do it as a purple dragon. Let's do it as a human from Breland. He's got no other choice, because he's got nothing left after the war. And I just, even when I just randomly say this like that about characters, I just can't help but the juices get flowing, and I just can't help but I want to play DDO, want to try a different build. Not that it's going to be good endgame, because there's only four or five, but even if it just works a little bit on R1, you know, like, let's just try it. And I know all the old-time gamers, anything will work on R1. And that's partly true, especially when you have a gazillion past lives. I mean, anything will work. And I mean, anything will work. It's very different. I've been trying to stay away from my triple completionist, and I've been playing less lived characters. And I'll tell you, those past lives really, really add up. And you would be deceiving yourself, I think, if you think you can make any character work on R1. I definitely think you'd be deceiving yourself. That includes my hardcore player audience as well, the folks who love to play hardcore. You know as well as I know that victory is the key, and that's what you focus on. You don't focus necessarily on how your character feels. So, and that's what I'm getting. So, but therein lies the beauty, is that if you can get marry those two things, even to some degree, I think you'll find a deeper emotional purchase in the game, and maybe one that can flip the switch so you can play it like I play it a little, and not have so much angst and so much confusion. Because after all, you tend to yawn, and after all, it's just one life. And in DDO, we can have many. And I think that really should be the takeaway. And it's unfortunate that so many players have so many misgivings. And it's unfortunate that they seem to go unheard and unanswered. And they don't have to, you know, and when I say that, I don't mean that SSG has to give them the, you know, the, what they want, but they should give some kind of answer. Anyways, those things, I think I'd like to talk about. But I need a more visual format, I think. I can come up with something and we can talk about it. I can write a little story and I won't get into character because I already am the character, let's face it. I try to get into character would be like, you know, Kramer trying to act for real. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's not going to work. So, but man, I'll tell you, when I think about characters like that, come at them from that way, sometimes it makes it really hard. I've been really trying to, I'll give you an example. I've been racking my brain for the last over more than a month about how to make a Raven Knight. A Raven Knight in my head being someone that's chosen by the Raven Queen, and thematic elements that are visually thematic that shows that they are chosen of the Raven Queen, and one that is with a unique set of skills. And I struggle because I haven't found, because obviously what I think comes to every player's mind is the Raven in the Falconry tree. That's got to be a must, right? But then so many of the interesting features are locked behind the tier 5. I mean, the death attack is pretty critical. And it's not even that great. It's very much a gimmick, I would say, in the scope of the game, the grand scheme of the game. Yes, an assassin rogue taking out trash with assassin strike. Yes, that's different when you can get two or three pretty meaty mobs in one assassinate, sure. But I've yet to do that with the Falcon. And the mobs we're talking about aren't mobs you're going to necessarily engage in melee if you're the type of character I think we're all kind of envisioning. I'm not envisioning a tank, so to speak. So I don't see the value in the reset, the death attack in the core 6 or core 5, whatever it is. I don't see that much value in that because it's, again, it's so gimmicky. It's not, and with all the other roles happening against the death attack, to continuously add more randomization to it, it just seems silly. That's what I've been struggling with, and I've tried many different builds, and I actually spent a lot of money trying a lot of different builds because I just wanted to make this thing work. Like I said earlier, if I could have just made it work on R1 or R2, I would have been happy with it because of the thematic elements, and something I really wanted to do. And for 2 months, I've been thinking and researching the game and trying things in the game. Spending a lot of money and just trying to figure it out, and I just can't seem to get anything I'm happy with. Anything I do get, it might do okay with trash, but any type of real DPS is out the window because of the investment in the tree. So I've tried, you know, the straight monk approach, the wisdom straight monk approach. I've tried splitting some levels, many permutations of this thing, many. And I tried different classes, and, you know, from, you know, charisma-based classes, and I take wisdom-based, and I take clerics. I just tried it all. Nothing I'm happy with, you know, because the game just seems to funnel you down this route. And it just does. And it's not, hasn't been pleasant. And not whining about the money or anything like that, but it's a concern that I can't, it's a simple concept, but I can't seem to make it work to any degree in game because of the system that's in place is fairly broken, I think, when it comes to realizing something like that. You have so many death attacks now in the game that it almost seems it seems like they've just been added just to add them almost. And because they've run out of ideas. And if that's not the case, then I'd like to see some more changes happen than just the ones we had now. So that's my main thing is trying to figure out somebody that is from the Shadowfell. And when you, I can only make it. They have to be Shade Archai, and they're not even the, you know, like the Elven Shade Archai. They're like, really, they're like Shadowbar, but no. They're just from the fourth edition. I don't fucking know. I'm sorry. I just I don't know. It has to be Shade Archai. So that's one thing. And I'm okay with the build being kind of crappy, you know. Like I said, as long as it works in R1 or R2. But I focused on melee, I focused on range. I tried it all, man. I just can't find anything that I'm happy with because nothing really uses that death attack in that tree because it's so bad. And I'm not saying they need to pump it up so it's so good. I don't want that. I think maybe probably lower in the tier is good and everybody won't use it. So what if it's overpowered? Then just take it away from the random chance to reset, even on a 20-second cooldown. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, but it just seems, the more I look at the Falconer tree, I like it, but I just don't like it. And the more I look at the Falconer tree and then Horizon Walker, the Universals, and Amstani, and I don't know. And the more I look at them, there's a lot of identity in the trees, the universals, except for the Harper agent tree is strange and broken and lacks any identity except if you want to play an intelligence-based character that does damage with the melee weapons. or a ranged character, you know. It just seems intelligence to hit and damage. When I think of a Harper tree, that's what I think of. I don't think of, when I think of Falconry, I do think of all these cool tactical feats that are based on assassinate instead of strength or tactical, traditional tactical feats. And I think that's a great concept, but it just falls so short in implementation. And it has a large part to do with, there's like just not enough oomph, in the tree. To really, consider taking it. Sure, if you're gonna go, I've seen it done effectively well with some inquisitive builds, and I'm glad that the inquisitive builds have stuck around. I know there was a brief period where they were not the greatest, but for the most part, they were the greatest when they came out. They a brief lull, but they were you could still use them. They weren't like they were nerfed into shit. Just like I think that Draconic trees, you still use it. It's not nerfed to shit. It's still good. But with the Inquisitive and You know, like you never see repeaters in the game. I never see anybody using a repeater. Everybody always uses the Inquisitive tree. Why? Because it surpasses it. It's better. And it's just interesting for me. And now, you know, some developer will listen to this and be like, I gotta nerf that. No, you don't. You gotta figure out a way to make repeaters viable again and unique. You know? Why can't the two-handed crossbow build thing? I mean, why can't there be a one-hit crossbow user? You know what I'm saying? Like, why think of a different way to employ it so that it can be utilitarian? Like, not swashbuckle, but what if your main hand, you know, with your whack attack with your sword, and then you could also have an ability that allows you to wield crossbow in one hand, your offhand, and that could be, say, your utility stuff. You know, that's your knockdown, that's your blind, that's your escape. You know, you shoot a crossbow bolt or rope and you get out of there like Spider-Man. You know, like, that kind of thinking is the kind of thinking that will keep people around and keep your player base happy and keep the game growing. Because if you're not growing the game that way, you're limiting options and you're just limiting your player base. So you need to create options so you can, you know, somebody comes back to the game and like, oh, they never had that before. And oh, I never played a character like that before. And I can't believe you can do this in this game. I mean, that's the kind of thought process you want someone to have when they come in the game. I can't believe this is possible. Instead of, oh, they nerfed that again? You don't want to have that. That's not cool. That's not good work, no. So anyways, that's kind of my struggle. That's been my, you know, I just been thinking a lot about the Raven Queen's plight and, you know, my friend wrote, you know, there was a post on the old forums about a guy that was a warlock, like it was a story a guy wrote about a warlock. Kind of, but he was like the Raven Queen's warlock, and it was super cool. And the story ended up going in crazy, wild directions that were completely unpredictable, but I think that's what made it such an easy read. It was like one cool thing to the next, so it was not like work at all. It was just a lot of fun. And ever since I read that a few years ago, I wanted to make a character like that, but I didn't have the stones to want to do it. Like, I just knew I didn't know that much about the game to make it effective. So even when I did try it before and I thought it was effective, I knew it really wasn't. It was just that, like, I was playing solo and on elite. Yeah, it was not touching anything in Reaper. So, yeah, you know, I knew it wasn't the greatest build, but it was effective on elite. So, yeah, so that's what I've been kind of struggling with, and I've been trying to test and figure out. And just, I want it to be fun and interesting, and you know, fun to play. So, I'm gonna have some talking skills. I want to just be cool. And do I want to be able to be trapped? I don't know. I don't think so. But he could, if that was a way to make up for his lack of fucking deeps. But it's just, it's been a trial, man. I mean, I'm telling you, I tried very hard to get this thing to work, and I couldn't get it to work. And I was so unhappy with it. I couldn't wait to TR out of it. It was embarrassing to play. Luckily, nobody knew. None of my friend group knew it was me. I didn't tell them. Some of my guildmates knew, but none of the guys outside my guildmate that run with me, I didn't tell them, hey, you know, this is so-and-so. I just didn't want them to know, man. It was embarrassing. You know, they wouldn't be doing like, dude, what are you doing with that? You need help? You need some money? You need a TR or something? So it's just, yeah, that's just been one of the struggles I've been having is coming up with that. So I think I want to settle into something because I'd like to do some type of visual thing just to show people how I approach the game. So maybe we'll take the scene away because it will matter less, but it's still going to matter. And when I say what matter, I mean the nerfs will matter less, if you approach it this way. But it's still going to hurt when you know other people have been betrayed. That still sucks. And it's still going to hurt the game, and it's going to hurt your game, and it's going to take friends away from your game, and that's going to suck. Today was the first day I logged in. I couldn't believe the amount of less players that were on. I was shocked. I don't think people are logging in for as long, and I think they had this build-up for Dragon Lord. And I noticed, I'm not sure if they have anybody paying attention, but I noticed, at least on the YouTubes the previous month, February on, in February, a lot of people were getting double and triple the views on their YouTube videos because people were really highly interested in the game. But, it's been a week after the change or 2 weeks after the change, and you can already see the drop. On logins and stuff like that, and that bites. When I can see that, that bites. And it's like, are you not paying attention? Are you sure your numbers are right? Because, while it's only anecdotal experience or anecdotal, it certainly matters, right? Because that's how your players fucking, that's how you get your players in DDO, is from me telling stories. And getting people interested. A, because you're marketing genius, I'll tell you that much. A, because you're double bonus points. So, I'm not angry, I'm not upset. I don't want you to think that. I just, I get this way on purpose to sell you the point that I think you can look at the game a certain way, it will lessen the sting. But if it's something you love, you're still going to feel hurt, man. But maybe you can ride the game out a little bit longer this way, and hopefully they don't ruin it. And hopefully they, come to their senses. They've done it before. I think last year was one of the best years, really, they had. And it's only now that they've decided to go back to their old ways that I think there's been some backlash. If it was because new content or because this or because that, then they would have come out and said it. I just don't think they have a clue. They just did it because somebody saw it. Somebody saw the numbers, right? Like Severin saw some kid doing, 60,000 with his game of breath to like 30 mobs. And he was like, that's, how long is that? But that got you. Something like that happened. You know what I mean? I'm guessing something like that happened. I don't know if that's the actual truth. But you gotta wonder how much, a guy like that or a guy that makes decisions to nerf really knows, because, if he phones it in and he gets by QA and everybody loves it and then they nerf, I don't know, I'm just spitballing again. I can come up with character backstories and I can come up with all kinds of different angles, man. That's what I do. It's part of who I am. It's a strength, it's a weakness. But it ain't magic, my friends. That's why I generally don't make magic characters. Anyway, we've been in this cave for about an hour. And I don't generally look at the time on the podcast when I'm recording it. I just go. Because it doesn't matter to me. It's all about it's done when it's done. So, but it's been such an odd podcast from my standpoint, because I usually don't talk about life and perception like I did in the beginning. And I don't usually transition to, a recap and then talk about character building and character perception and then come full circle like that. It just feels right to be finished with this one. But I'm definitely going to do something with a more visual cue and something that we can, especially new players can, or returning players or any player that just maybe feels lost or disconnected to the game, and they need a push in a different direction, something they haven't tried before. They can, try a different approach. And it might be cool, man. I mean, it might be fun to see it in action, to see how you can think through the quest as you character. It's fun. It's not necessarily a role play thing, but it is. But it's not. We're not going to be doing funny voices. Like I said, I'm already a funny voice. I don't need to be destroying it anymore. You can probably barely understand me now. That's how much of a character I am. So why would I try to? It would be a caricature if I did something like that. So, in closing, my friends, always err on the side of mercy. Always give people the benefit of the doubt until you can. And if you find yourself in half-baked dreams, just kick in the door and set that windmill ablaze. You never know, there could be a prowess melee power sitting in that chest just for you. I will talk to you guys soon. I'll try to do it. I've been trying to do it a week at a time, but this week just got away from me, and there's so many changes in the game, and I just really wanted, I was having so many great conversations, and I just wish I could bring all those people in and just hand them the mic. Hey, let me say this, and I'll say one line, and we can have 20 people just say almost all very similar trains of thought. It's really fascinating. Just the group think, that the parallel thinking that happens about this game. So keep your heads up, guys. We'll get through this. We'll get through worse. And, maybe there is, some light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe there is some surprise that we don't know about. And they, for whatever reason, can't say. We don't know. I will see you soon. I have my scroll. It's not really a scroll. It's more of a book of teleportation. Every page I write, I try to perfect this teleportation thing, but sometimes it's hard to come back from. Anyways, I'm gonna go into the back room and I'm gonna try this thing. You might wanna make your way to the front of the cave. Last time there was a big explosion, I think. Everything was charred when I came back this time. Luckily, the seats remained intact. I will see you guys soon.